Before we get into the message, though, let's stop and pray. Dear Lord, as we open your word, would you please bless and anoint what is said and done here? Let it be what you desire it to be, God, we pray. Let your spirit have control and speak through us. We are unable, Lord, but you are able, God. So we pray you would have your way. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want to talk just a little bit about the cares of life. But I really kind of hesitate to put this up here as a title. And maybe you understand as we go into it. But by the cares of life, we normally use that phrase to signify things that are not necessarily unholy or impure or sin, you know, that we obviously would stay away from and not have anything to do. By the cares of life, we mean the normal things that come along that we might either have to do somewhat in order to maintain life, you know, jobs and buying groceries and cooking food and cleaning the house and whatever else you might put along there. But then also I tend to add with that just activities and all that we may come across that we may want to do. And so that's kind of what we're talking about this morning. And I know there's a verse actually in the parable of the sower where Jesus describes the effect of the cares of this life and how they actually did not promote his word in the life of the individual. They were actually tied to thorns that would choke out his word. And so we know that the cares of life are something, while not directly against God so much, there's something that can work against God in our life if we don't be careful. And so I want us to take that in and realize the need to submit even those things to God, to keep them in their place in our life, because there's a reason. I was over in 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter. Let's turn over there and look at Demas. We just have a brief verse about Demas, and who knows what God might have done with Demas. We don't have any scriptures that he wrote or anything in the Word of God. Of course, he wasn't one of the apostles, but regardless, we're not sure. We might have seen his name show up more, but we have this verse here that says, 9th verse of the 4th chapter, it says, Paul's writing, and says, "Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica," and goes on and mentions some others there. And so there was something here. Evidently, Demas was important, had a place there with Paul. And what was it that Paul was doing? Was Demas placed with a man who was just taking in the pleasures of life, and Demas was just hanging out with him, and he was just a buddy? Paul was doing a work for the Lord, a mighty work. He was given. Paul had all kind of prestige, all kind of everything. He gave it all up to go do whatever God wanted him to do. And evidently, Demas was a help to him at some point. He was someone who Paul felt the effect when Demas went back. He felt something was missing. And it's sad to really consider that, where he evidently was doing a lot to store up treasures in heaven. Demas was sitting there ministering to a man who was being persecuted, but he was beside him. But somewhere along the line, he became attached to just things of this world. And it ended up pulling him away. And we have hopes that maybe Demas, you know, he worked everything out and he was saved. But the path here is that he walked away from what God had him doing, the place that God had given him. And why did he walk away? He walked away because he let his heart go out towards the things of the world, towards the cares of this life. We have some verses over in Matthew, the 13th chapter. And 44. And it says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field. All right, so what is the field this morning that is hid in? The kingdom of heaven is hid in a field of this life. And it's, you know, this isn't a field that's exclusive to a certain group of people, that only certain people can walk through here. We all have the opportunity. This is representative of life in general for all of us.
Yes.
It's a big field out there. There's all kinds of things to take in a field. There's, you know, and it's not necessarily any of it bad. All right, in the tones of the representation here. Well, let me say, this isn't really focusing on all that is bad in life. It's just a field out there, and you're going out through a field, all right? And in the midst of this field, there's a treasure. There's only one treasure. There's a whole field out there, and it has trees, maybe it has grasses, it you know, it has, maybe it rolls a little bit. It's all kinds of things you can take in about this hill and say, well, oh, I like this part of it, or I like this part of it, or I like this part. But there's only one treasure in the midst of this whole field. It's up to us to find it. It's up to us to treasure it. To say, you know, that roll of the hills is nice, but I'm looking for something. Those trees, that little grove of trees, I like that. That's nice. I'm glad that's over there. But I'm looking for something. Because it says, when this man hath found, which when a man hath found, a man, we're all walking through, we all have this chance to find it. And when a man finds it, if you really want to find this treasure, it's there to be found. And when you find it, you'll know why you were looking for it. You'll realize. There's a song we have. I found what I needed so long. I walked past all the rolling hills. I walked past all the beautiful trees. I walked past the flowers blooming in the meadow. But there was something missing. And I found it. If you find this treasure, you know that you have found what is missing in your life.
Yes.
It's not a complicated thing to try to figure out at that point. All right? It says, when a man hath found it, he hideth, and for joy go and selleth all that he had, and buyeth that field. That place where he found this treasure. This is what matters. Everything else I had, everything else I was bringing with me, this is what I want. This is what I've been looking for in life. I have found what I needed so long. And then it says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man, seeking goodly pearls. I get the picture here of a man who's, it's like, I want the better things in life. And by that, we don't mean wealth, physically. These are representation of looking for something good, looking for the good in life. I remember, it makes me think of Benjamin Franklin and how he looked for his virtues, the virtue thing, and how he tried to go out and map that all out. And it's kind of that kind of picture to me of someone who's looking for the better things in life. He's looking, and all of a sudden he's like, whoa, wait a minute. This one isn't like all the others. All right, I've looked and I found some nice pearls in life and I found some good things about this life, but this is different. All the good things, not just what's wrong with life, not just the degraded and the despicable. Maybe I've already kind of like wished I was away from all of that anyways. But even all the good things I can find in this life don't compare. And they're worth giving up in order to have this one thing. You know, it's a state of the heart. The Lord shows us and balances out places that we're not going to throw everything away in life because He wants us out there living life. And that takes some things of this life, some cares of life that we have to take care of. But our heart needs to be focused on what matters. And Lord, you know, as you will, I'll take care of all these other things. But I found what I needed. I found the goodly pearl. It says, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had. What all his just rotten stuff and all the trash that he wasn't really wanting to keep around anyways. No, he sold everything, whatever it took to obtain this goodly pearl.
Yes.
You know, that's really the message in life. As we go through and we take care of the cares of life, we're faithful in our jobs, we're faithful in the things the Lord puts before us. Whatever it takes. If I have to sell this job, or I have to sell this place, or I have to sell this activity in life to obtain this pearl, then I'm going to be willing to do it. Because the Lord only knows, like he only knew for the rich young ruler. You know, we don't have anywhere else I remember where God looked at somebody and said, go sell all that you have. Now, he told the disciples to leave what they have, but I mean, those specific words. But he said them to that rich young ruler. He said, you know, for you to take in this pearl of great price, follow the commandments, but there's something else you have to do. And he pointed right at it and told him exactly what he needed to go sell. He looked at all those goodly pearls. He said, well, you know, those aren't really a big deal in your life. But this one is. This one is a mess for you. It's not one you need to have. You're going to have to sell that one to obtain this. That's the message this morning. What is it that the Lord's going to put his finger on in my life? It's worth it because I'm selling it for something that's greater than if I can put all of those things together somehow in life. If I gain the whole world but lose my soul, it's not worth it. That my soul and heaven is worth it to gain. Luke 12, the 12th chapter. Luke 12, and we'll start with the 22nd verse. And he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for your body, what you shall put on. For life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider, okay, so there's more to this life than the field. There's a treasure out here somewhere. This is what you need to be looking for. You think about when you're a kid, the whole treasure map thing, and they used to have this geocaching where you get a little, it's basically treasure hunting for big people. You know, we don't call it that, but that's what it is. It's kind of a game. And when you go out there and you're looking for that, you may see a lot of things along the way. Do you stop and say, oh, okay, well, this is what I came for? Are you like really into this and you're going to go until you find that geocache wherever you're looking for it? All right? This treasure and what he's saying there is there's something more than all these things you see around you. They're not what you want your focus on. You need to pay attention to what matters. All right? And consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap. There's not that there's not a pattern here for us to look at and say, you know what, I'm going to be okay. I can really do this. I can really make my focus on the Lord. And he really will show me what I have to do. The ravens, they have to fly sometimes to go get their food. So the Lord gives them wings, and they fly. And he gave them the ability to know where that food is and to go get it. They have to take in some things like that. But the Lord provides all those things to them.
Yes.
And it's a pattern for us to get a hold of in life. Somehow we feel like the Lord doesn't give us wings. He doesn't, you know, he doesn't adorn us. He doesn't, but that's just not the case. If he did it for all of those, where are the creation? We're why he created this world. Why would he do things for all of the world and it not be a pattern for us to be able to look at that and go, he'll take care of me too. I truly can search for this treasure. I truly can make heaven. Oh, how horrible that be if he had done all these things and then he just left us and like, you know what? You're not going to have time to think about heaven and pursuing heaven because you're going to have to take care of that. That's what the devil throws in our way over and over. You don't have time to focus on heaven. You don't have time to focus on the Lord. You don't have time to do these things because you have to go out here and take care of all these other things. How much sense does that make? The Lord did all this for the ravens and the lilies of the field, but we don't have time for heaven because we got to take care of ourselves. The Lord says, consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are you better than the fowls? Now, this wasn't anybody except Jesus speaking right here.
Yes.
It's in red letters, y'all.
Amen.
And which of you, taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? And I'm like, wow, that's a pretty big thing. I mean, no, I can't do that. I mean, what? Have you ever read that and thought, well, I mean, that's pretty big, God. Evidently to him, it's not. Evidently to him, he's like, this isn't a cubit. That's not anything big. Because then he says, if you then be able not to do that thing which is least. Now, if somebody is so unimpressed with the ability to make a person grow by about 1 foot 7 inches suddenly, which is what a cubit was, all right? I'm like, okay, you know what? I think you can probably take care of me. Yeah, I think you probably got this under control. I think I can trust you. And I can pursue whatever it is you're telling me to pursue. I can make that my focus in life. Problem is, we're not satisfied with 1 foot 7 inches sometimes. And we have to be careful about that. We're not satisfied to just accept that cubit that God can do. That's a miracle. The way he provides for us. We're like, you know, I really need 24 inches, Lord. Or I really need, sometimes, I really need 1 foot 9 inches, Lord. I might have to go, I might have to take a little bit of focus off of what you told me to in order to get that extra 2 inches in life. Y'all, we're playing with hell. We're playing with our souls when we do that. Lord, help us. He says, if you then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow, and they toil not. They spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? Can you just imagine getting so enamored with the grass of the field that you don't see the treasure that's laying right there beneath them, right there beside them? Because I'm so enamored with the grass of the field. A little more grass. A little more to take in. All of this that's not going to last. And the true treasure is laying right there. It says, how much more will he clothe ye, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after. That's all they have. That's all it has to offer. But your Father knoweth that you have need of these things. The Lord knows we need them. He knows exactly what we need. He knows the 1 foot 7 inch that we need in life. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. You know, that was actually where the Lord, as I was getting this message, kind of stopped. And then as I was reading it, I just felt impressed that there was a little more there. The next verse says, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. We just spent 3 days in VBS, those who were in VBS children, talking about heaven. It's real. It is absolutely real. It is what this life is about.
Yes.
It's what matters in life. If somehow, I don't want anybody to be a failure. If you work hard in the Lord and you listen to him, you're not going to be. You may be, in the eyes of the world, a failure because your 1 foot 7 inches looks to them really kind of tiny sometimes. But it's pure gold in God's eyes in terms of eternity. If you're willing to take whatever it is, that 1 foot 7 inches from God, you're taking pure gold. And beside you, as the world stacks their things up, Lord, help us to realize 1 foot 7 inches of pure gold is worth a lot more than 20 feet of straw and grass.
Yes.
That's going to burn up.
Yes.
That's what you're looking at. That's what you're seeing. It's so worth it to choose the Lord, to choose what he is willing to give you in life and be satisfied with it. Paul said, I've learned in whatsoever state I am to be content. Why? Because there's a greater treasure. Because I'm not out here playing in the grasses of the field. I'm pursuing the Lord. I'm pursuing what he has for me. And my 1 foot 7 inch of pure gold means so much more than a whole tower of grass that's going to burn up. All right? "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that you have. Give alms. Provide yourself bags which wax not old, and a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." If you don't look at the treasure and you don't take it in. This week we talked about heaven. There's been opportunities. I don't believe anybody in here probably, I imagine even to the youngest one of us, has never heard of heaven. We have the opportunity to take it in. But if we don't look at it, without a vision, the people perish. If we don't take it in, if we're so busy with the towers of grass around us, how can we know the treasure? I mean, you can have $1 million sitting beside me. If I never look at it, how am I going to know it's there?
Amen.
How am I ever going to take it in and say, "Hey, yeah, I think, thank you, I'll take that"? And all. You can set it right beside me, and if I don't look at it and consider, "Oh, wait a minute. Hey, open up that briefcase. That's really $1 million. It really is." Somebody can set the briefcase there and say, "Oh yeah, okay." Open it up, look at it. Take time to consider what the real treasure in life and what it is that we're pursuing. Luke 12. I'm sorry, we're in 12. And I got all ahead of myself there. But moving on down in these verses from here, it says, "Let your loins be girded about, and your lights burning, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord." All right? So there's a message here. Lord, what is it that you've saved me? So what am I supposed to do now? Am I supposed to just go out and just take in whatever's happening and just be here in this world doing whatever's in front of me? Or is there something I'm supposed to be waiting on? Remember, doesn't mean sitting doing nothing. There's no busier worker, hardly, than a good waiter. A good waiter is busy. We're talking about these. Sometimes you go to a restaurant, and who knows what might be going on in the background. We can only speak as to the waiting of the tables. And we don't know the other part. But if you just consider that part, someone brings your food to you, and they come back 20 minutes later with a check. I was not really waited on. Oh, good waiter is constantly attending. Whoever it is there at that table, they're attending to them constantly. Do you need something? Is there something else for me to do? All right? That's the message the Lord is sending to us. There's a need for a constant attention to what God is wanting out of our life. If we just take in the grasses of the field for several days, we're going to forget what God's got us here for and the purpose. If we're going to remember, we have to take Him in daily in our life to give attention to Him, to allow Him to teach us and guide us, to hear Him. When He says, "Need a little more water," have ears that are sensitive to the Lord.
Yes.
And we're there listening to Him and hearing what He's saying to us in life. All right. The thing is, you know what He's doing when He says a little more water? You know who needs a little more water? Not Him. He's there telling us what we need. You know, normally the waiter's bringing the water there, but it's the Lord saying, "You need a little more water. Thank you, Lord. Let me take some time right now and get a little more water. Hey, need a little more? You need a little more bread. You need to eat a little more. Okay, yes, Lord. It's time for me to eat a little more. Lord, help us." So it says, "Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when He cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that He shall gird Himself and make them sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if He shall come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the good men of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not suffered his house to be broken through." What kind of pattern of watching is that there? Is that one that says, "I'll check back after a while"? No, if we know that's about to happen, that's a pattern of somebody vigilantly watching for what's about to happen. You know, in our life, as we go through it, help us to vigilantly watch.
Yes.
for what the Lord has for us. Because we're not just watching here. In fact, that's not what it's about. It's about there. It's about heaven. It's about pursuing the treasure that means more than anything. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter. And I feel like there's such an important, and that's why I said just saying the cares of life really doesn't get the message across this morning. Because I feel like what the Lord's trying to do is say, this isn't just a pattern of life. I believe the Lord has a desire. I don't believe there's one of us here this morning that the Lord's looking at you and saying, you know what, if you miss heaven, I'll be all right with that. I don't believe that.
Amen.
I believe the Lord's looking at everyone here,
yes,
and not just wants you there. He wants you there desperately.
Yes.
And he's
yes.
sharing this message with us this morning because of the importance of it for us to make it to heaven one day, to be there with him. All right? So 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter. It says in the 13th verse, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." You know, there's a... some words I wanted to read to you this morning. You may have a fancy car, a big new house that shines by far. You may live to be 100 years old. But if you have not been saved, it will end with the grave. But I want us to be together in heaven. I want us to be together in heaven. I want to walk down the streets of pure gold. I want to run through the fields of green clover. See the mansions, smell the flowers, hear them singing, it's all ours. See the river gently flowing, hear the gentle breeze that's blowing. I want us to be together in heaven.